Today I'm looking at the topic that says turning glory into shame. Turning glory into shame. And all this started from the book of Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. When God made all things, including man. And he made man in a special way, gave him power, gave him dominion over every other creature. And we all know the story. That's exactly where I want to start from today. Genesis 1 verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created him, male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moves upon the earth. That was how God made man, a special creature, and blessed him with all these blessings, and crowned him with honor and glory. Let us turn to Psalms verse 8. Psalms 8, verse 5. Psalms 8, verse 5. Psalm 8, verse 5 confirmed the what was recorded in Genesis chapter 1. It says, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and has crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet. So God made man and crowned him with glory and honor. But if we go back to, if you also look at Psalms 82 verse 6, that place says, that God made man a little lower than the angels, and he called man God, say, for you are gods. But if you go back to Genesis 3 verse 8, you see how man turned the glory and honor that God crowned him with, how man turned it to shame. Genesis 3. Genesis 3, 8 to 10. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. So, man became ashamed of himself. He became so ashamed. Why? Because he has turned the glory and the honor that God placed on him to shame. He has chosen shame and disgrace in place of glory and honor. And since this happened, we continue to inherit this from generation to generation. You notice that man had the tendencies of turning glory into shame. We enjoy it a lot. And you will even ask yourself a question, why do we like disgrace? Why do we prefer shame to glory, to honor, to all the good things that God has given to us? Because we always bend towards our weaknesses. Where we have weakness, where we are not strong, we always bend towards that way. And that is how man has continued to turn glory into shame. The sons of Eli, that was what they did. Samson, the same thing. Even to our generation, when God drove man out of the Garden of Eden, he made a coat of animal skin and he clothed them. Today, man wants to go on the street naked. That is what we want. We always turn God's glory into shame. Let us turn to the book of Judges 16. Judges chapter 16. Turning glory into shame. God anointed Samson from the womb, and God blessed him and empowered him to judge his people within a certain period. And Samson was so powerful that he could kill thousands of people alone. Samson was not a trained soldier. Nobody trained him to be a soldier. Nobody trained him to kill. But because God had empowered him through the spirit that God put in him, Samson did a lot of wonders because God was with him. But he took the blessing and the glory that God has crowned him with, he took it for granted. He called it nothing. And if you turn to Judges chapter 16, from verse 6, and Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lies, and wherewith thou mightest be bound to afflict thee." And Samson said unto her, "If they bind me with 7 green withs that were never dried, then shall I be weak and be as another man." Then the Lord of the Philistines brought up to her 7 green withs which had not been dried, and she bound him with it. Now, there were men lying in wait, abiding with her in the chamber, and she said unto him, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he broke the withs as a thread of tow is broken when it touched the fire. So his strength was not known. So when Samson did this first thing, he thought it will continue to be like that. He continued playing this game with the glory that God has given to him. He continued to play this game with this woman. And at last, he revealed his strength to this woman. And move to 16, Judges 16:16. And it came to pass, when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was best unto death, that he told her all his heart and said unto her, "There had not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Why did Samson go this low? Why did Samson go this low to drop the glory that God has given him? Why did he go this low? If you even ask Samson, Samson may not be able to explain what happened to him. And when Delilah saw that he told her all his heart, she sent and called the lords of the Philistines, saying, "Come up this once, for he has shown me all his heart." Then the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and brought money in their hand. And she made him sleep on her knees. And she called for a man. And she caused him to shave off the 7 locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And he said, "The Philistines be upon thee, Samson." And he awoke out of his sleep and said, "I will go out as at other times before, and shake myself." And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. But the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza and bound him with fetter of brass, and he did grind in the prison house. Turn to Proverbs 3:35. Proverbs 3:35. That place says, the wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. That was exactly what happened to Adam, what happened to Samson, and that is exactly what will continue to happen to anyone that prefers foolishness to the wisdom of God. People will continue to inherit shame, because the Bible says that shame shall be the promotion of fools. God still rule the world. The word of God still rule the world. We all know that the devil is the ruler of this world, but the word of God rules supreme, even over the devil. If you go contrary to the word of God, you will feel the impact. But if you follow the word of God, you will inherit peace. So looking at the word of God from Genesis to the book of Judges and Proverbs, these are the word of God, and the word of God endures from generation to generation. It endures forever. These words were not spoken to only Adam and all these people. We are also part of the people that God gave this word, because the word of God endures forever. And the question today is, did God crown us with glory and honor? Has God in any way crowned us with glory and honor? Yes. God has called us out of the world and has brought us into his family. And God has commanded us to love one another. God has blessed us with lovely children, lovely family. God has given us peace. God has guaranteed our protection and so on. God has given us good jobs. God has blessed us in so many ways. All these are glory and honors that God has crowned us with. The way he crowned the Adam, Samson, and God has also given us his Holy Spirit. But any day we take our families for granted and we let our children loose and allow the world to train our children for us, we are turning the glory that God has given us into shame. Anytime we use the money that God has given to us to patronize evil, we are turning the glory that God has given to us into shame. And God is aware of it, and God is not happy about it. Turn to Psalms 4 verse 2. The book of Psalms 4 verse 2. O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? Sons of men, we are sons of men. O you sons of men, how long will you turn my glory into shame? How long will you love vanity and seek after leasing? And the book of Micah, chapter 6. Micah 6. Micah 6, verse 3. O my people, what have I done unto thee? Because God is looking at us. Every time people want shame. People want to drop all the blessings that God has given to them, and they prefer shame. And God is asking here, O my people, what have I done unto thee? And where have I weared thee? Testify against me. Testify against me, for I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him from Shittim unto Gilgal, that you may know the righteousness of our God. God is asking us here, what have I done wrong Is it because I bless you with peace, with children, with good job, money, and so on? Is it a wrong thing for a father, a loving father, to bless his children? Or is it wrong for God to call us out of the world and give us his Holy Spirit and call us a chosen generation, a special people? And God is saying, where have I gone wrong? Testify against me. And of course, we cannot testify against God. What will you say? God is holy, God is righteous, and God is perfect. Even the weakness of God is stronger than man is. So, brethren, now that we have our lives, let us hold strong all the blessings and all the glories, all the crowns of life that God has given to us. Don't take it for granted. Don't turn it into shame. Don't turn it into shame. In that Psalms 4 verse 2, God says, when will you stop turning my glory into shame? We all have the tendencies to do this, but God wants us to stop. God wants us to have the right attitude, even when we turn his glory into shame. Because turning God's glory into shame means disobedience to God's word, to God's word. When we disobey God, when we go contrary to all his command and instructions, we are turning his glory into shame. And God wants us. He loves us. Say he has loved us with everlasting love. Even when we turn his glory into shame, God still calls us his children. He still wants us to come back. The Bible says that all have sinned and come short the glory of God. Now, I want us to look at two different people that turned God's glory into shame and how they handled it and what they did about it. Because turning God's glory into shame could lead to two things. It could lead to rejection. God could reject us when we disobey him and we'll turn his glory into shame. God can also accept us and bless us, depending on how we responded, depending on how we handled it. And there are, if you look at the whole Bible from Genesis to Revelation, people handle disobedience in different ways. Now, you have people that handle it the way King Saul did. King Saul, God crowned him the king over Israel. And when he sinned against God, there was a way he handled it. And there was a way David handled his own. Let's look at how King Saul handled it when he turned God's glory into shame. 1 Samuel 15. You know, when God brought the people out of the land of Egypt, when they were coming out of the land of Egypt to the promised land, the Amalek went and laid wait for them on the way and fought them. And after the battle, God swore that he was going to wipe out Amalek from the face of the earth. God swore that he was going to wipe them out from the face of the earth. And that was exactly what happened when God crowned Saul the king of Israel. And God sent him and told him to go and utterly destroy Amalek. That was the instruction. But let us see what Saul did. 1 Samuel 15 verse 9. God has sent him to go and destroy the nation. 9 said, but Saul and the people spared Agag, the best of the sheep and the oxen, and of the fatling and of the lamb, and all that was good, and would not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refused that they destroyed utterly. Then came the word of God unto Samuel, saying, it repented me that I have set up Saul to be king, for he is turned back from following me, and had not performed my commandments. And it grieved Samuel, and he cried unto the Lord all night. Now, if you go to 1 Samuel 15:14, see what what Samuel told Saul. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of sheaves? I'll go back from 13. And Samuel came to Saul and said unto him, blessed be thou of the Lord. Let's start from 12. 1 Samuel 15, verse 12. And when Samuel rose early morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul came to Carmel, and behold, he set him up a place, and is gone about, and passed on, and gone down to Gilgal. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto Samuel, blessed be thou, O Lord. Blessed be thou of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of God. Samuel didn't say anything yet. Saul just met him and said, I have performed the commandment of God. And Saul said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of oxen which I hear? And Saul said, they have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spared the best of the sheep's oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord has said to me this night. And he said unto him, stay on. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thy own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribe of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? And the Lord sent thee a journey and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore then did thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but did fly upon the spoil, and did evil in the sight of the Lord? Now, look at what Saul, look at how Saul handled it. Look at his response. And Saul said unto Samuel, yeah, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Agag the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. Saul began to cover his sin. He began to justify his actions. When we turn God's glory into shame, when we disobey God, this is not how we go about it. You don't try to prove God wrong by covering your sins, by trying to justify what you've done wrong. That was exactly what Saul did. And if you turn to Proverbs 28, verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsake them shall have mercy. If we confess our sin, if we have gone wrong and we confess our sin, we will have mercy. But if we continue to cover it, if we continue to justify what we have done wrong, then the Bible said we will not prosper. And Saul did not prosper because he did not repent of his sins. And the Bible said that the Spirit of God left Saul, and an evil spirit from God troubled him. And that was how Samuel continued to mourn every day till he died for Saul. But David had the same situation. David did similar thing. David committed an offense, disobeyed God seriously, but he handled it different way. In 2 Samuel 12, you know, David slept with the wife of Uriah, and he tried to cover it up, but he could not cover it up. Then he killed the man. he killed Uriah. And God sent to David a prophet, Nathan, to come and tell him all that he has done. Nathan told David everything in a parable. And after telling David all those things, David was so angry. And David said, who did this? The person deserved to die. David pronounced a lot of judgment upon the person that did it. And the man said, the prophet of God said, you are the one that did it. Now let's see how David responded. 12 verse 13. Okay, let me start 12 from verse 7. And Nathan said to David, thou art the man. Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and I gave thee the house of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, I would have moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall not depart from thy house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus said the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thy eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. David did not argue. David did not try to cover his sin. David did not in any way. He acknowledged it. He said to Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. So this is the difference between David and Saul. This is the difference between David and Adam. Adam did not acknowledge his sin. He tried to cover it. He tried to tell God why he did it. Because of this woman. The woman tried to tell God why she did it. Because of the snake. Nobody was ready to say, we have sinned against God. Nobody was ready. And nobody said, we have sinned. But David, the man after God's heart, said, I have sinned. And the prophet said, your sins is forgiven unto you, and you shall not die. This is what we should do any day that we have sinned against God. Any day we have turned God's glory into shame, let us go back to God and confess our sins and ask him for pardon and forgiveness. Let's go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles 7 from verse 13. Even though we have turned God's glory into shame, no matter what it is that we have done, God will still forgive us if we come back to him. Second Chronicles 7:13 said, if I shut up heaven that there be no rain, God is the one speaking. If I shut up heaven that there be no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people. 14. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, and I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their lands. If we confess our sins and turn away from them, God will hear us and God will forgive us and he'll heal our land. David did this sin, and God said he has forgiven him. What did God do? God blessed him. God gave him Solomon. Solomon, through the woman, the wife of Uriah that David took from him. Solomon came from her lineage. God blessed David with Solomon. So what will you say? If God has forgiven our sins, God forgets about it. And he continues to bless us. And David says something in Psalms 32 verse 1. Psalms 32 verse 1. David said, "Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered." When we turn God's glory into shame and we go back and pray to God for forgiveness and ask for mercy, God forgives us and God continues to bless us and God continues to love us. And God continues to show us mercy. And God continues to lead us. Brethren, we are peculiar people unto God. We are a chosen generation. And God has blessed us with a lot of glory and honor. And any day, we turn this glory into shame. It pains God a lot. It pains him a lot because he has invested a lot in us. But another thing that we have to remember always to do is whenever we disobey God, no matter how big, no matter how our conscience condemns us, let us remember, just remember, to go back to God and confess our sins and ask for forgiveness. And God will forgive us, and God will continue to bless us, and will continue to call us his people, and he will continue to lead us, he will continue to bless us with all the blessings that he has given us, and he will not take anyone from us. But any day we try to cover our sins and feel that we are more, that we are smarter than God, then we want to go the path of Saul. We want to go the path of King Saul. But it is the will of God that we continue to love him, that we continue to come back to him and ask him for mercy, and he will continue to bless us.